We're back, everybody. Welcome to the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. And we're coming at you a day early and a little later in the evening. So there will be no members lounge tonight. Everybody here that is live, whenever we do them early, we're usually we just aren't able to. But we did drop just today the latest episode of the Baldur's Gate behind the scenes. Now, this is the episode for our members. This is the episode where I battle naked for the first time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is the point. You know how like TV shows have like filler episodes?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is when our arc begins.
Yeah.
Like, we've had our filler episodes and now the arc is beginning.
It's the naked arc.
Yeah. It really is. Because
arc one is beginning. Yeah. Season one. Like it's
because some stuff happens after this. Like it really takes off.
Yeah. We've had our filler episodes. We've established our characters. You've learned a little bit of our lore, the backstory. And now it's
go time.
Yeah. Now it gets good.
I keep saying this all the time, and people are probably sick of hearing this from the internet, but that game is so good.
It really is.
What it does well, it really feels like a Dungeons and Dragons evening with the friends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To play that, I mean, you know, most people probably played that single player, but to play this multiplayer, the chaos of multiplayer, the freedom that it gives you to do all that stuff, it feels very legit.
Well, I've said this before. I almost think it's too much freedom.
Well, that's Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, and the game's out on the PlayStation 5 now, and our predictions are it's going to be out on the Xbox by the end of the year.
Because
they had that, they're going to leave out couch co-op, right? And
I predict sometime, because it's on PlayStation now, when did it drop? The 28th? Today. Dropped today.
Yeah.
For a PlayStation. So I think by the end of October, it's here.
I think Christmas.
I think November-ish.
Christmas, yeah.
Early November.
Holiday season.
Late October.
Well, now, how is it going to work? Because I would love to just lay on the couch and play this on the old 61-inch.
I'm switching over. You know. I'm not playing on my PC when this comes over.
Well, because I know, is it cross-play or is it just the saves are in the cloud? So, like, if you decided one week you wanted to play on the Xbox, we all have to play on the Xbox.
No, it's cross-play.
I wasn't, because I know it's cloud save.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was actual, like,
someone in chat can correct us if I'm wrong. I'm 99% sure it's cross-play.
Well, David, if it's not, we're not letting you move. The save game is on your PC.
It is on my PC, yeah.
So, you're
I just got to fix my Echo.
Yeah.
I say that every
week.
Well,
the cloud save is there, so he could technically load that game on his Xbox, and then we'd... But I don't know if we'd all... Yeah. The save is in the cloud, I believe. I believe it's cross-cloud save.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
I did get a new chair this week.
Oh, nice!
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it was late last week. I just didn't talk about it last week.
I'm proud of you. How do you like it?
I like it a lot.
Is it my chair?
It's not yours, but it's similar. Oh. About same price range as well. And it's just... It's nice. It's finally a chair that can hold my fat body.
Yeah.
Sturdy.
So why did you not spend $3,000 on a chair then?
Because my wife told me no. I almost.
And the story
I tried.
Checks out.
I tried, okay? Dude, you have to admit, if I had that chair, you would want to come try it out, though.
You know what? I have to admit.
You have to admit
it. If you had a chair like that, I totally would.
You would be like, okay, let's go see what this bad boy is about.
Yeah. Okay, I've got confirmation. Crossplay is on Larian's list.
Oh,
so it
shit.
Will be coming. The internet is saying once the Xbox version comes out, they believe then Larian will focus on crossplay.
All right, I'll fix my Echo. Honestly, that's why I haven't fixed it. I'm just like, that's coming.
We could just make it a part
Xbox.
Of the lore. Like, you kind of have
whenever we
double
talk,
personality.
So,
you know.
So what happens? What happens is whenever we talk, we can hear ourselves in David's mic. So we could role play that you just repeat anything we say back straight back to us.
Yeah.
You're
just like crazy.
You're just annoying. Super, super annoying.
I am annoying.
You're an annoying naked barbarian.
No, but it's annoying to listen to. Also, it's annoying that you want to know, sometimes I just don't talk for like minutes. It's because I have to press that freaking button.
The push to talk.
Yeah, because you can't.
What, you
stay
want
off.
A foot pedal?
Yeah, give
you
me.
Could. Yeah, you could.
Well, it's just annoying. Like, it's just annoying.
Okay, that's what we'll get him for his birthday: a foot pedal press, so he can press.
You know what's coming though, guys? Forza Motorsport. This next week, I'm getting in on the early action. They got me again.
Are you going to spend $3,000 on a wheel? Or is your wife going to tell you no?
I don't want to. She might tell me no. She'll probably tell me no.
But why don't you just do it? And then just, I mean, like, what's the worst that she gets mad
Jordan
at you for
does
a day
bring
or
up,
two?
Jordan does bring up an
She gets mad
point.
At you for a day or two.
Then, why don't you
then,
just do
then
it?
Then life is back to balance, you know?
That's a great argument.
Maybe 3-4 days tops, and then life's back to balance.
Maybe,
you know?
Maybe.
But during those 3-4 days, you have a cool new wheel to
you
play
make,
with.
You make a strong case.
We do not recommend doing that. Yes. So
this
everyone
not,
knows.
This is not the views.
This is
of
not
me.
Advice. please do your own research.
Yeah, do your own research.
So some big news this week. A couple big news stories. Meta, though. MetaQuest 3. Spicy was watching this live, actually, which is cool.
In the metaverse? Or just on TV? YouTube. Okay.
Yeah, watching it live as it happened. But one of the big news stories is Mark Zuckerberg showed off that in MetaQuest 3, Game Pass is something that you're going to be able to play there via the cloud. They showed it in 2D or like a screen. It's like you're in the, what is it, AR? It's AR.
They called it mixed reality.
It's a mixed reality headset because you can go from AR to VR, but it's AR where it's like a screen that you're playing on inside your headset. Is this a good partnership, Xbox, smart partnership, Facebook's Xbox with MetaQuest 3? Is it a big nothing burger?
I actually think it's really smart because I think this is actually really smart for Xbox because I think they just dabble into different technologies with their product, like Game Pass, which is their product, and they see what works. For example, we have the ROG Ally, which is the handheld.
Mark Zuckerberg, that's an annoying looking guy.
I really want to see him and Elon Musk fight.
We would pay for it on PPV. We'll pay for it on pay-per-view, and we will stream it and get knocked off of YouTube, but stream it just to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, that would be the greatest fight.
I would pay
for it. I don't care who wins.
Everyone's like, Mark Zuckerberg, he trains. Have you seen him kick? Have you seen him? He's like the least athletic person on the planet.
That's true, but he tends to fight on the ground. You don't need to kick if you can just break their arm.
Yeah, but you got to have at least a little bit of athletic ability, or I'm going to crush you no matter what you do.
There are some great fighters that just lay down right when the fight starts.
Yeah.
All right, come and get me.
I assume that's going to be his strategy.
Does this remind you of anything, by the way?
Yeah, Minecraft, when they showed that off on the HoloLens.
Yeah. Oh, hey, what did we all say back then? AR is the future, guys, not VR. And lo and behold, what did Quest finally figure out? Oh, we need to have AR. Look how cool that is. So, that's way cooler than VR, in my opinion.
What David's describing is we're watching the presentation right now, and they are playing Minecraft on a table. That is what he was talking about. So,
yeah.
No, yeah, I think, no, you don't need to kick. I mean, do you remember watching, this was years ago, the tennis tournament where it was Andre Agassi, is that his name?
Yeah.
Versus the giant that's 7 foot. Yeah. He can't play tennis at all, but he can do a serve like no one else has ever done. A
little bit of smoke
on
that.
And he just aces every serve.
He's a giant.
Okay. You don't need to be a mixed martial artist. You can just choose one thing and be really good at it. Breaking arms on the ground.
Yeah, but my point is this. He's not. He has zero athletic ability.
And we don't. Elon Musk is touting his move, the Walrus.
Yeah, the Walrus.
We don't know what that is.
Yeah. I will
Plus,
say.
Plus, Mark Zuckerberg's like 5'5" or something. Super small. He's not 5'5". He's like 5'8", I think. 150 pounds. Elon Musk is like 6'2", 225.
Are they even allowed to fight?
David,
you don't have to be like a weight class, you know?
Yeah.
I was countering your argument that he can't kick, so he can't fight. I think that's not a good argument to have. However,
But that's not my argument. My argument is, I just use kicking as an example of his lack of athletic ability. My argument is he has no athletic ability at all. I don't care how much he knows. His lack of athleticism still matters on the ground.
I 100% think that he's going to lose, but I still think that if he's not,
I don't know,
at his weight class, he's not bad on the ground. I would say that.
Have you watched him?
I have. At his weight class, he's not bad.
I think he's pretty bad, dude.
I don't think he's that bad. On the ground, I think he's okay.
Look at him.
At his weight class. He looks. However, Elon Musk will destroy him because he's got, what, like 75 pounds on him?
Yeah, literally his walrus move.
It doesn't matter how good you are.
Size, guess what? Guess what, ladies? You're right. Size does matter.
It doesn't matter how good you are. And I think the scientist, Elon Musk, knows that.
Okay, this is my problem with this. They're showing off like AR, and they're showing like looking at your reels and your Instagram, and like, have you seen the headset? If this was just glasses or contacts, yes, this makes sense. Maybe one day we'll get there. But as of right now, that big bulky ass headset, you're not just walking around doing these things.
There's a commercial later on that see that headset right there. So that's got like three eyes on it. There's a commercial where it's very endearing, where this husband, this husband gets his wife, gift of the Meta 3, the Quest 3.
Yeah.
And she learns how to play the piano on the table by watching this. And there's this point when he walks in and he's like, oh, and she looks over and she looks totally alien.
Yeah, because of the three eyes.
She's like smiling and it's like. Yeah, and that's my argument that's what I've said a lot over the years. Until it gets smaller, until it gets more. It has to be like the glasses. They have these glasses, the Google glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not Google glasses, but they're like cool shades that they put it on the glasses. It has to be seamless like that.
Yeah.
It can't be cumbersome. It can't be heavy.
Again,
you're going to get fatigued.
Again, size matters.
My problem is they're showing it off as if you're just like, it's kind of a concept. Like you're just wearing these all the time. Whereas this works if you're like, you're clearly putting these on for a very specific purpose. You're not just walking around with them. That's my problem. Do I think this mixed reality is the future over VR?
That would 100%.
Yeah.
But Jordan, you were saying that you think this is a good, partnership. Sorry, everyone, we derailed that.
I think this is a good move by Microsoft because put your product and just see what works. Because the nice thing about Microsoft's product of Game Pass is it'll actually kind of work anywhere.
Play anywhere.
Yeah. So like the ROG Ally, so Microsoft now has I don't know if you want to call it a competitor to the Steam Deck. I guess it is. But they have now their own Steam Deck out there, so they can see how that works. They can see, you know, who's interested in that, why, you know, who's buying it, who's playing it. Same with this. Because remember a while back, Phil Spencer was asked about VR, and he basically said, hey, we're going to wait and see what happens. I think this is kind of baby steps into that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, hey, Game Pass is on this Oculus Quest. Let's see what happens, you know.
I really don't think Microsoft had to do much to get Game Pass onto this device.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's why it's so smart by them. Yeah. You know,
I think it's mutually beneficial for both. Facebook, Meta Quest 3 wants to become mainstream. Xbox is a mainstream gaming system, or has a gaming subscription service, rather. You get all their games on there that you're able to play. Fantastic. That helps you. For Microsoft, they don't care. They want eyeballs in front of Game Pass. If there's another venue where someone can subscribe to Game Pass, boom, done.
And I think it's a very low risk, very high potential, because let's say the Meta Quest 3 fails. Yeah. Microsoft doesn't care.
Well, I mean,
I'm sure they care, but it doesn't hurt them in any way.
Yeah, they're indifferent, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt their brand.
It's right? Why
it's a shame.
It's why Game Pass is going to succeed, because you no longer are tied to the system. You're tied. It's just like Netflix. It's the Netflix of gaming, everybody. The Netflix of gaming. Spicy, would you ever get? They always try to show off work and designing with this. Would you ever have one of these for your job?
Yeah, if the camera's good enough, would you just walk around with that thing on and just blink your eyes to take pictures? What if that's the future?
No, that's the big. If you're talking about photography versus like sitting at a desk. So Jordan's question is, would I be a professional photographer and use this? Absolutely not. Your iPhones and your Androids and your devices can take great pictures, but at the same time, camera gear, like professional gear, is improving just as much, and it will always be light years ahead of what's in your pocket. However, I will say you can get great pictures with those devices, but you don't pull up on a set, and you don't pull up on a shoot pulling out your iPhone.
Yeah.
A, you look like a doofus doing that when someone's paying you lots of money to shoot it. B, the gear is just so much better.
But you pull this thing out with those three cameras on the front? No,
so to answer your question, Jordan, I would never use this on a shoot, professionally speaking. As a hobbyist, absolutely, that'd be fun. Like, just something to see what it's capable of and to just enjoy and do that. Yeah, that's sure. But I would never pull this on the shoot. Jordan, or David, your question, would I ever have an empty desk and sit down and stare at the wall through this alien helmet?
Not even necessarily an empty desk, but like... I don't know. They try to show these off always.
I feel like they're always showing the same thing. Architecture.
They're always showing, and I've thought about it because I sit at a desk all day for work too.
Yeah.
And they even show like someone in my situation where like, I just need multiple monitors. Like, nope.
Well,
I wouldn't use that.
I think the problem is, and I don't know your answer yet, Mark, but I think the problem is as a human race, we have perfected the mouse. you know?
Like, the mouse is a great input device.
Like, you can't make it better.
So it's what you grow up on. I know a lot of graphic designers that use like a Wacom tablet and a pen and stuff like that, and they prefer that. I grew up on the precision of a mouse, and I am way more faster and way more trained with a mouse at a very specific DPI. I can go so much more faster. That's why I have a difficult time transitioning to mobile, like Photoshop's on mobile devices. That's great. Why would I want to handicap myself and do that on mobile? Yeah. I know that there are creatives that can do that. And essentially they, like my brother, for example, he more or less grew up doing it on mobile devices, not on awesome PC hardware that's got the balls, you know, to do stuff like that. So he's more comfortable with that. If we give it enough time, maybe there's a generation that having an Apache style eye monocle pop over.
Dude, yes.
And then you can see, maybe we get to that time frame. Maybe I don't think you can work the kind of hours that I work and have a helmet on your head for that long. I get eye fatigue enough as it is, you know, doing what I do in a comfortable setting with a monitor at the right height, very specific, etc. I could only imagine the headaches you would get. You're wearing a helmet, you know? I don't think that at this point in time is something that I would consider doing 10 hours a day with. Yep. Maybe 45 minutes, maybe an hour at a time, but I work like 10 hours a day. There's no way I could do that, David, to answer your question.
Yeah.
At this point, if they get to the point of Cyberpunk 2077 where we get surgically enhanced eyes, yeah, sure, that's great. If I was wealthy, I could see myself, Minority Reporting my eyes out.
It'd be super cool.
Yeah, and having that. Super cool. But we're not there. It's a helmet. It's got padding and everything, but even headsets that are the most comfortable thing in the world, after an hour or two, it just fatigues your head. It fatigues your ears. You can't do this at extended periods of time. And in the professional world, you need to put in those kind of hours to, do your job. So
yeah, 100%.
So no, the answer is no.
Yeah, same.
To both your questions, absolutely not.
In concept, it would be cool, but I just don't know that it's practical yet. Having said that, I would like to get this played. Where I would use this for gaming, laying in bed at night.
Head on a pillow. I can see that. And staring straight up.
Just staring straight up, head on a pillow. Boom.
I mean, I've done that with VR with goggles for like movies and stuff, and that was, I enjoyed that. It actually... I think I fell asleep because I was so comfortable, which is great. You know, that's kind of, you want to be comfortable when you're R&Ring. So.
Yeah, but for main gaming, I don't know that. Like, I have an awesome TV, and Jordan and I have been talking about it because he's been playing on my parents' TV lately, which is the next generation up of my TV, and he's like, dude,
yeah, the TV, this is awesome. TV
and,
makes
and
a
my
huge
problem
difference.
Is. That, and I've moved my Series X to my TV, and I doubt that this beats that. You know what I mean? Like, well, we've perfected televisions.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. It's the same concept with mobile versus hardware on your desktop. I brought it up earlier in this podcast. Yeah, you're getting the mobile devices are getting extremely powerful, awesome devices. But at the same time, the technology is it's like having birthdays
in parallel.
I am always older than you, David. No matter how fast you're growing up, I will always be older than you.
Yeah,
it's the same with hardware. There is a parallel there that TVs will always be better because of the hardware that is progressing at the same time, side by side.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's it. It's a parallel progression, right? Yeah. Like, that's exactly it. Anyways, interesting. I would get one to... I would like to try it out, playing Game Pass, playing games, like, no, lay down, or just... I bet you could get super comfortable.
Super, super cool idea. And when we get to the point when it's not cumbersome, being able to walk around your house... They showed a thing where... we watched it while we were chatting, where there's a mirror on the wall that's built into, it's augmented, right? It's mixed reality, and you can do things with the mirror that's not actually there.
Well,
they even had portraits. I remember seeing portraits on the, you know, pictures on the wall that are moving portraits that you can see of your family. They're not actually on your wall. It's there within the device itself. We are going to be getting to the point where this is. It's going to be very, very commonplace. I don't think that's now, but eventually when the hardware is small enough and powerful enough, maybe it gets to the point where maybe it's a cloud, like a server, a streaming thing, where the power of the device is a little thing you plug in your house somewhere. It's a router or something. And that is the CPU, the GPU, everything that needs to be powered. And the goggles themselves are just a receptacle for just the radio waves, the 2.4 or 5 gigahertz, whatever it is. And that is what's running everything. And maybe it's just those cool glasses that you wear that this show, the keynote showed off. But the Ray-Bans, I believe. Yeah, chat.
Yeah, the Ray-Bans. The Ray-Bans. See, so that's cool.
That's super cool. Maybe that's when we get to the point where it's just regular glasses, and then you can do that. And the actual device itself is somewhere in your house locally. Or
That would be cool.
With how Starlink is working, we're going to have internet everywhere, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. No matter where you are, it will get to that point. Right now, I don't think that I can see myself using this to work or to play. Because of the cumbersome, it's just too big. And that's thinking that everything is solved with, you know, the headaches and stuff that comes. I know that's virtual reality and this is not that, but you know what I mean. But so
yeah.
Mm-hmm. They also they showed off or Zuckerberg mentioned having AI built into the device itself, which it would be surprising if it doesn't go that way. I think he even talked about it. They were big on this whole keynote presentation on AI, but having those Ray-Ban glasses walking around or whatever, and having AI figure things out for you while you're walking around town.
That's next level.
Yeah, we're close to that. Yeah. Actually, we are very close to that.
Well,
which is super interesting.
Well, yeah, I was telling you before the show, I'm subscribed to ChatGPT-4. It helps me be hyper efficient in my job.
Yeah.
You know, something that used to take 30 minutes to think of to do, I can now, with the assistance of it, do it in 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool.
But speaking, going back, one last final thought on cloud gaming. That's great that cloud gaming is there. I don't see myself ever using this as my means to game.
It's great that it's there, but it's not there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not yet. Like, until we get to a place where you don't notice the difference.
Yeah.
Then it's there.
That's such a... Hardware needs to get pretty far along before that happens.
Yeah.
Anyways, very cool. So it's interesting. It's cool to see this kind of stuff pop up, especially when it influences gaming. I feel like, I've said this a million times, I feel like gaming pushes the world forward.
100%.
It sounds stupid, but it really does. with every push of every new technology thing, us nerds try to figure out how to game on it. And gaming will always push bandwidth. It'll always push resolution. It'll always push hardware. And it's exciting to see, you know, gaming influence these new devices that will take over the world when we're dead.
Now, speaking of gaming and pushing things, let's talk about Jordan the Man's experience in Cyberpunk. Because he's so back.
Phantom Liberty came out.
Let's pull it up.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
And it's the expansion to Cyberpunk. It adds a whole new ending. I think I know what the new ending may or may not be. If you've beaten the original game and then played, you know, fairly decent amount, you know, into the sequel, you kind of haven't. You think you know what it is, and anyway, so it'll be cool if that's what. Anyway. New ending, new zone, basically. I mean, the zone was kind of there before, but it's all done up and more detailed, and it's a new zone called Dogtown right next to Pacifica. And it's really good.
Yeah, I watched you play. It's
very good.
I watched you play some of it. I just want to say this. The city does feel very alive.
Yeah, it feels much better. Now, this is in tandem with the 2.0 update. So the 2.0 update is free for everybody. Unfortunately, the 2.0, and this is, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit. The 2.0 update is only available on the next generation. So like PC, of course, and then PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series consoles. The old generation, I think, was left at 1.6. And Cyberpunk made that announcement a while back. So we already know. I'm one to, you know, if you can release your game everywhere, I think that's awesome, so more people can play it. But I do think it was a mistake for them to release it on the last gen consoles. I think in this particular scenario, the hardware did hold them back.
Well,
wow.
And I mean look at it.
Play on the old.
Yeah. System, and, right? I mean, it took them a while to fix it, and even then they don't have these features that we have now.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think it should have been a next gen only game.
I do want to shout out Reactor League before we continue here. He dropped his super chat member for 39 months. He says, I just worked the whole Meta Connect event last 2 days and got to leave podcast early. It's still early, but the new tech is interesting. Love the positive gaming fan. Yeah. I mean, to Spicy's point, the tech does look super cool.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait till it gets to beyond what we're seeing.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Reactor League. Thank you very much for the super chat. Jordan the Man.
So
this is where a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, mm-hmm. I said maybe CD Projekt Red is a one-hit wonder. Maybe they're not who we think they are. You tell me I'm wrong.
I think that seeing what they've done with this particular expansion, Phantom Liberty and 2.0, I think it was a fluke. I think either it was mismanaged or we do know that someone said, hey, let's release it. And you know, someone may have said, it's not done. Send it out the door.
You're saying it's a fluke that they produced a game like Witcher 3, or you're saying
it's a fluke that they screwed up on Cyberpunk.
Screwed up. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, they did screw up. It wasn't a good launch. The thing is even when you played it at launch, you could tell something was there. It just wasn't finished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly the vibe I got when I played it.
And because it wasn't finished, it there was a lot of things that suffered because of it, you know, in the game. Not only its perception, but the game. But no, with what they released now, especially Phantom Liberty. So 2.0 update is fantastic. That's what changed your whole new perk system, which is great. Like I was telling you the other
ran over this girl.
Like I was
still on. Oh. We're watching gameplay. Just a hit and run.
Like
right there.
Like I was telling you guys, I don't know if it was last week or the week before. You have a whole new skill trees. The cyberware is completely different. How your armor, and then if you guys know what netrunners are, like how all the cyberware works and how your armor works, your skill tree, your perks, vehicle combat is much better. You can actually have vehicles with guns mounted on them, as well as using your own gun from your vehicle. The police system is far better than it was, which, you know, that was something that's like, guys, why didn't you, you know, that's something simple, you know, I say simple, I don't know, right? But, you know, but anyway, but no. And then with the Phantom Liberty expansion itself, the first hour, which is about the first mission, it'll take you about, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to complete the first sequence of mission, the introduction. That has, I believe, more awesome set pieces than the entire main game. Now, I don't think the main story is terrible. I think the main story progressed you along through the game, this story is far better. It is an actual spy thriller, and it's very good.
So if I start over from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Is my entire experience better, or do I have to wait till like is my entire experience this next level, or do I have to wait till I get to this expansion?
So you have to if you were to buy the game new today,
yeah,
I think you would be playing one of the best RPGs of the year.
Wow.
And that being said, you would have to go through a decent way through the main story before the expansion itself unlocks, because I think the expansion is later level. You could create a character and it puts you right at the expansion, so you can just skip all that anyway. But I think with Phantom Liberty and 2.0, I think this is the best RPG I've played all year long.
Chandler Tate says he 1,000% agrees with you.
Yeah, I really do. And this is where it's like, this is CD Projekt, especially playing through Phantom Liberty. 2.0 is great. Phantom Liberty is what makes it that much better. I do think you can start a new game and still have that experience, because that the base game is better all on its own. With all the previous updates they did over the last 2.5 years, plus the new 2.0 update. So you're already getting a way better base game. And then once you get to Phantom Liberty, you're just getting a solid story.
Go for it.
I was going to say, and not to say the main story. I mean, Mark, you've played through it, and David, you've played through it a bit too. It's not terrible, but it almost feels like you know, for Phantom Liberty, Daddy came home and said, "Hey, I'll write this one." You know, hey, take a break. I'll write this one. You know, and it's like, coffee. Yeah, it's like, okay, all right, yeah. You like someone came in and said, hey, I'll take this one. You know, and because it is really, it's a completely different feel. They tout it as a spy thriller, and that's really what it is. Because I can't spoil it for you because it's really well done. But there's things that characters make you feel, and you're like, oh yeah. Well, even Johnny Silverhand. So he's a part of this expansion because you know of. Story events, yeah. Right? In the main story. I might have told both of you. But even his dialogue is far, it's far more interesting to talk to him. So before he was just like, he's a rocker and he's against the man, you know? Yeah. And there's certain cool missions with Johnny and there's interesting dialogue. But he said stuff to me during some of the Phantom Liberty stuff, and it was like, okay, that's really interesting. I can kind of see where you're coming from now. I get why you're like the way you are, and I understand your point of view. I'm not going to go that way, but I, you know, it's interesting. So
would you say his dialogue is better written then?
Yeah. So I don't think, yeah. Cause I think Keanu Reeves did a fine performance, you know, sure. Like, you know, I don't think there was anything wrong with it. I think the writing is better.
Interesting.
And I think that's the whole Phantom, cause you can tell, when you play through the main story and then you jump to Phantom Liberty, you can tell, like, okay, this is what they're capable of.
Yeah.
So, no, it is, in my opinion, there's still a couple more games that I'm very excited to play. But right now, Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty, as it stands today, is the best RPG I've played this year.
So you're putting that, and that's fair. I mean, I haven't played it yet. You're putting this against Starfield. You're putting this against Baldur's Gate 3. And you're saying
this year,
okay?
And you're Baldur's
Gate 3. This, it's okay. It's very hard to compare this and Baldur's Gate.
Sure, they're very different.
They're both RPGs. What you're saying is
they're all in the conversation.
Yes, I can safely say I think this game is better than Starfield.
Oh, you're such a Starfield hater.
I like Starfield. I enjoy Starfield.
You're such a space hater, bro.
I'm excited for the Starfield deals. I like Starfield. I do think this is a better RPG than Starfield. As it stands today. Now, that being said, we'll see where Starfield is in 2.5 years. You know what I mean? They had 2.5 years. I'm not saying if you know, you can ask me like, oh, is this game of the year? I'm not gonna put it as, you know, in my game of the year list because they had two.
Can it be considered for game of the year?
Because I mean, it's very good, but you had 2.5 years to fix it.
It should have expansion of the year.
Yeah, there you go. They had expansion of the year
category.
Yeah. Can this get awards? What awards would this get?
I don't know. I mean, Fortnite gets awards every year.
I will say
comeback of the year.
Just because of how the world is, like, I think Baldur's Gate 3 is going to get game of the year.
Oh, I think so too.
Just because it's so hype. And to be fair, I've been playing a lot of that this week. And to describe Baldur's Gate 3 compared to other games, because that's essentially what we're talking about right now. You guys ever watch those, like, Dude Perfect, like...
Yeah, where they, like, throw the ball.
Yeah. This is, Baldur's Gate 3, to me, is like somebody took a basketball...
Makes an impossible shot.
Drop kicks off of a cliff, and it bounces off 15 walls, goes through a tube, and then, like, swishes, because they did... What's so fascinating about that game is they did something so difficult to do, and they did it.
Yeah.
That's why Baldur's Gate 3 is just, it's just a crazy game to consider because of the complexities of what they've created.
Well, they made an incredible fantasy Dungeons & Dragons experience.
Yeah. So that's why the discussion of Baldur's Gate 3, many people say it's their favorite RPG of all time, if not their greatest game they've ever played.
Yeah.
And so you're putting this up. And I know they're different games.
Yeah, because one's
a CRPG.
And one, this is a first-person shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
RPG, right? Like, it's even hard to compare this to The Witcher. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're very different.
It's a first-person shooter. But I think with this Phantom Liberty update, like I said, in my like top three favorite games ever made, I think this is I don't know if it's in the top three, but it's getting there.
Yeah,
you know, it's definitely worth talking about.
Well, then,
is that fair to say? It's worth talking about.
I got to double check to see if I installed it, but I will be playing this now. I don't know when I have the time. Everything keeps being shoved back to backlog.
Yeah. There's a couple more games. There's one in particular that I'm very excited for, and there's a few more games coming out as well.
Was that Forza? Or
no, I'm excited for Forza, but I'm actually really excited for Lords of the Fallen.
Okay.
Which is the Souls-like,
yeah.
You know, and it's co-op. Yeah. So,
yeah,
so just like Souls.
Even better.
So that'll be fun for all of us to play. But, yeah. But no, this Cyberpunk, this is CD Projekt Red. Like, this is what you expect when they release a game.
Well, when their expansions were, their games were good. And Witcher 3 came out with a lot of problems when it launched. Maybe that's just how the sausage is made.
But it was you could play the game.
Yeah, that's true.
Was the major
Unless you
difference.
Turned on Geralt's hair swooshy.
And fought a bear.
Yeah. Because Witcher's expansions were phenomenal, and I would say that they were better than the game, right, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, even Hearts of Stone, which was a smaller expansion, added tons of stuff for the player, in addition to a whole new story, new characters, new romances, and then Blood and Wine added Toussaint, which is a whole new zone, completely opposite of what you're used to, because it was like Italy, right?
Yeah,
instead of war-torn Europe type thing, yeah.
Maybe this is just how CD Projekt Red makes games.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just it's part of their formula. Yeah. We pay for a beta version of a game, and then we get it 2 years later.
Yeah, but no, I haven't finished the main story of Phantom Liberty yet, so I still have that to do. And, you know, the way it's shaping up, it's very well done. But this makes me sad that they're shifting back to The Witcher.
Oh,
like after playing it, like don't get me wrong, Witcher 3 is in my top three of best games ever made. But it makes like the universe of Cyberpunk. It saddens me that they're shifting that from what we know, yeah. Right? They're shifting back to another Witcher game, which I'm sure will be good and fun, and you know we'll have that excitement once we start.
But
seeing
you like it that much.
This universe is so interesting that I want more. I would like a Cyberpunk 2078, you know, whatever. You
Chandler
know.
Tate in chat again says the team did say they're working on Cyberpunk 2.
See, that would be I'm very happy.
But it's like, far off.
As long as it takes them, if it's anything like what Phantom Liberty almost feels like a sequel. Like that's how good it is. That's how much they've added. And that's how much they've changed and adjusted. It basically feels like the sequel to Cyberpunk. But I just think like, what if this was the, you know, base game when it came out, how different the conversation would be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but, it's interesting. We talked about it, 2 weeks ago, you're one update away from, you know, ruining your game and you're one update away from
totally redeeming yourself. Yeah.
So, but, no, I do think, I mean, the CEO of CD Projekt Red came out and said it was basically his fault. So I get, you know, he has the blame. He pushed it out too early, and whether I don't know if they had personnel change up at the executive level of management between Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk, but Cyberpunk, I just feel behind the scenes was mismanaged and pushed out too early. And then, you know, when you have a properly managed game and you give them the time they need, Phantom Liberty is what you get.
Yeah.
As well as the 2.0 update. And what's incredible is the 2.0 update, which I do believe completely changes the game, is 100% free for anybody who owns Cyberpunk. So you don't even you can start a new game with a 2.0 update, and you'll have a far better experience than you did 2 years ago.
That's and exciting. Phantom Liberty, you have to
buy. Phantom Liberty, you do have to buy. It is an expansion to the game.
There's just so many games. Like, there's too many games to choose from right now.
I can't wait to retire.
That's, I know.
Where you just sit back and play games.
Like this what we're watching, what we're watching right now on Cyberpunk. I won't tell you who these characters are, but this was one of those like the set piece moments where you're like, kind of okay.
Like, imagine if it was your job, and your job is like you could play 8 hours a day. You know what you could do in like a Starfield in like 2 weeks?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
a lot.
I see a lot of like after even only a few days of seeing Baldur's Gate 3, like people talk about it. Like, Co-Carnage came out and he's like, I have 150 hours in this game. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
How did you do that so fast? It's because he's a streamer. So,
yeah, so he's just playing content it all the time. That'd be so nice.
Yeah, I would not like to be a single game streamer. The goal is variety.
Single game would get grindy.
Variety streamer.
Yeah, I think you have to, problem is you will have to start single game before you can move grindy or. You have to be exceptional.
I actually don't think I'd like to be that, though.
No, I don't. Streaming, I think, had its peak. I don't think full-time streaming, anyone...
I don't like to be forced to do things. And a streamer, if you're a variety streamer, you're forced to play new games. If you're not, you're forced to play a game over and over and over and over. And I don't like to be forced. I wanna ease my way into it and just enjoy it and
yeah,
relax.
Yeah. Chandler Tate, shout out. Welcome to Tier 1 Wingman status. Just joined. Thank you very much for your support. Look at that sexy X badge right there, the loyalty badge. If you'd like to support the show, guys, come over to youtube.com/X1Bros and hit the join button. Become a member. Get a loyalty badge. Get access to all of our behind-the-scenes videos, our member lounges, everything.
Yep. If you have a next gen console,
yeah,
Cyberpunk is, as it stands now, an incredible game to play.
Awesome. That's so. Oh, that's cool.
That is exciting. Ah, there's just so much. Well, and to
it's
play.
Just this universe of the idea.
You're convincing me.
Well, that's why I'm glad to hear they're working on a Cyberpunk 2, and they haven't abandoned the IP because this universe, being in Night City, which is where you take place in this game, and the idea of like cybernetics, I don't want to say taking over your body, but having the option to use cybernetics and what that brings in a positive light, but like the way the game shows it is like there's a lot of negative to it because it's kind of a dystopia. Trade-off. Like it's such a fascinating universe to be in.
Well, like just this scene that we're seeing here looks freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like and I'm just saying the first hour because I don't want to spoil anything because the first hour is quite a set piece. Yeah.
Is it linear? This expansion.
Well, I mean, it's in an open zone, but the missions are very linear.
It's like Grand Theft Auto.
This looks super linear.
Think of Grand Theft Auto. It's open world, but the missions take you through a story.
But Lester will take you places.
Yeah, yeah.
Lester's.
But
I think Grand Theft Auto is going to take gaming to a next level place. GTA 6.
I think that's coming. We're pretty sure it's coming early next year, right? Yeah, quarter two.
Yeah, I mean, leaks are already coming out. Looks fantastic. I guarantee you, role playing is going to be built in to their online experience.
I don't know. I think that would be the smart thing. But I don't think Rockstar likes that. I think...
It's what made Grand Theft Auto Online have staying power.
It did, but they fought it tooth and nail the entire time. They do not like it.
Yeah, but when the new world... I don't see how they get away with... Okay, they have to allow... Because even if they don't allow it, people are just going to do it anyways. So you might as well control it.
Well, that's the thing. If they control it, then it's a lesser product. That's just how the world works.
I'm sure they could give the minimum.
Give them tools.
Have like a base. Yeah, or something. But have you seen the leaked footage of it?
I stay away from leaked footage. I've read articles on.
So the leaked footage is not game. It's not story. It's like leaked. Like graphic.
I tend to not even watch trailers.
Can I describe it to you?
Can I see it?
I won't describe the scene to you.
I
want to
see the picture of the leaked graphics. I haven't seen the leaked graphics.
David.
It's a video.
Let me tell you first that I don't do it because I don't even watch trailers sometimes. I like to go into games completely oblivious as to what I'm going to experience. And if you describe it to me, that it's not about watching the video as some like moral thing, it's how I want to experience the game. If you describe it to me, that's not going to be the case. You will be telling me information that I do not want to know.
Okay, I'm going to describe it to you anyways.
I kind of want to know. Yeah, I've not seen the leaks.
It looks so good. Like, so good.
What was the leaked footage of? Just
okay, if you say it like that, I'm okay with you telling me.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Is it just like single player?
The leaked footage is spicy. You could look at the leaked footage. It's literally nothing. It's literally
what city does it look like they're in?
Walking on a street. It's just a random street. You don't know what it is. Like in any Grand Theft Auto, it's just a dude walking on a street. It's clearly like a test of something.
Yeah.
And then it shows some of the gunplay and the physics, and it's like, whoa!
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I did. So I've read some articles on like it's the clickbaity stuff that got me. It was one where the map was leaked and everyone's disappointed because it's so small.
And map size is overrated, everyone.
Well, that's the thing.
That's where size doesn't matter. Size matters.
Size
and,
doesn't
matter. There's a lot of things that size does matter.
In this case, size doesn't matter. It's the quality in the size.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Within it. You could have the smallest map in the world, but if it is packed tight, you don't realize it's what?
No, just nothing.
What are you?
No, you're right.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
The key light.
Grow up, Jordan. if you put a lot into that map, it doesn't matter. That's why those articles, you know, whatever. But I'm excited. I know that there's been a lot of leaks, wasn't it? I read an article where a hacker that was on probation. Okay, a hacker. I read this was on probation from another hack, and he was in the hotel in London or something in the UK.
Yeah,
and he used a Fire Stick for an Amazon Fire Stick. So he's on like probation in a court, like he's going through courts.
Yeah.
And the kid used a Fire Stick to hack into Rockstar and steal the footage that I think you're talking about.
That is hilarious. That's funny.
Yeah, that's talent.
That's
someone's got to hire
that's
him.
That's Mr. Respect. Robot stuff right there.
Yeah, someone's got to hire him.
I know. But he did it like with no, he was like no internet was allowed to him.
I am very interested in.
Like zero cool stuff, you know?
I'm very interested. I think speaking of Cyberpunk here and how it's improved and how good it is and just where we're at with games right now this year. I mean, has been an amazing year for games. Last few months have been amazing. I think GTA 6 is going to change things. Because if you think about it, GTA 5 Online, I don't think they expected to have that much success. None of us did.
Yeah. Well,
I think it was.
And so what do now?
Did you say it's almost accidental success?
Similar to Fortnite. Fortnite was kind of accidental success as well.
I don't think. I mean, maybe that part of it was accidental.
No, like, although holy crap, people are playing
sucked. GTA Online sucked for the first year. That was 10 years ago. But after, you know, it's gotten much better. But I've said this on the show a million times. Every time Rockstar releases a game, they push gaming forward.
Yeah, well, just look at Red Dead Redemption 2.
Look at GTA 4, GTA 5. Look at Vice City. Look at every
not
time.
Not the remake, though. The remake, I guess, was not too great.
Well, there was a few issues. It was a right-click, change to, you know, run as administrator, port that over, that kind of thing. No, but every time Rockstar releases a game, they change the landscape, which is awesome because we're going to get a new Rockstar game soon. And how we know that because... It's Take-Two, right?
Take-Two, yeah.
They released their financials, what they're
expecting.
Yeah,
they're the parent company.
Yeah, and something like that.
They're looking at an $8 billion first quarter or something like that.
And what, 7 billion of those are Rockstar?
Yeah. People are like, okay, I guess it's coming out then. That's what they're expecting. Funny. That's kind of how we're understanding when.
Well, just from the hype alone, how much will that game make money-wise in the first week?
Oh,
I mean, because people are going to buy it just because it's Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, dude, I'm all in.
Yeah. Well, and they've had their entire team on this for how long?
Well, remember with Red Dead 2, or was it during Red Dead 2? But Rockstar said, hey, we've redesigned the way we develop games. Like, all of their studios, because don't they have, like, Rockstar North, Rockstar, yeah. Is it Santa Monica? Or so, and then they basically all their studios are on it.
Yeah, their whole team, yeah. Like, their entire, for as long
they,
as they
are they based in London? Aren't they a UK, or are they based in New York now or something like that? Aren't they originally a European company?
Well, they had... you know what? I should do more research on that. I don't know.
This is all I'm hoping. And maybe this is a hot take. But with the world we live in today, I could use like a GTA 5 story with like a Trevor. You know what I mean? Like just something that
unapologetically brash.
Cuz let's be honest. Trevor's he's not very politically correct. Yeah. You know, he says what comes to his mind. And I think that's...
Well, just the radio stations alone on a Grand Theft Auto game is something that I just...
Just something I think I need. We need, like... I feel like Grand Theft Auto kind of resets the world. Like, oh, okay, all right, it's all right, you know, and then we, you know...
Oh, man. Can you imagine if that didn't happen? That'd be funny.
Yeah, I think it would kind of
they become like super vanilla.
I think that I think that is like a part of the identity. Of Grand Theft
Auto. It's like South Park. I mean?
Yeah.
They just like they just push things in any direction as for comedy.
Yeah, because there's. I mean, I actually liked all three characters: Franklin, Trevor, and Michael.
But no one is Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor was.
He was one of the most unique characters in any video game. Like his mini games that he would play, you know how each one had like their own mini games.
And his friends,
he would go on a rampage, get like a burger shot, and just like go crazy.
Or just they do just wild stuff, like
when
when you get high downtown.
Yeah. Well, when you know how you would switch characters. I always was excited to switch to Trevor because sometimes he'd be in a dress. Pulling himself out of a dumpster. Like he had a really crazy night.
That's like this added touch feature so for those of you that haven't played Grand Theft Auto, the main story, you switch between three different characters, and whenever you switch back to a character, it will take you and
it's been a while, like,
and instead of them just like waking up in a room that you left them in or something, they are just randomly doing something
that fits their character, though.
As a transition, you see this scene happen of them, and then you get to play them. But it's insane. It gives you this idea, this feeling.
That's the game is continuously that going on.
People are living in this world. Yeah,
yeah.
I remember being on top, just waking up with Trevor on top of Mount Pilead. And it's just like, what is he doing up here?
He's just like, and you're kind of screwed because you're like, oh, what? You know,
it's
and you
like naked on Mount Pilead. And you're like, well, what are you doing, bro? It's super funny. Like, there is a backstory there. And then you just start playing as him. And then you're in the middle of nowhere. You have to run all the way to wherever you need to go. It's pretty, it's great. I'm super excited for Rockstar.
Do you think they go multiple?
I actually think that was stores. A very. I mean, they don't have to. I think they told a really good story in Red Dead Redemption as well, and that wasn't multiple.
I have problems with Red Dead Redemption 2.
The campaign or online?
Campaign. Both.
You have problems with the campaign?
I thought the campaign was really well done.
Are you saying that? Okay, I mean, I can see.
I understand the criticisms of like, especially like people like, oh, the starting zone is way too long. But I liked the slow burn of the story.
No, my problem is it. It was too serious. It took itself too serious.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
Red Dead 1 is superior. It's a very high level campaign, Red Dead 2.
I mean, they're both tragedies, but they took the tragedy to a extreme on Red Dead 2.
Red Dead 2 was a lot more grounded, I feel like.
Yeah, it did.
Because, I mean, I really enjoyed the character of, what was it, Seth? The Gravedigger,
the snake oil salesman.
That guy was hilarious. What's
the minigun on the back of his.
even though he was a total douchebag, especially like the first or second time you walk in on him, but Reyes in Mexico, like he's even though like you end up not liking, okay. like he's not a likable okay. character, but okay. he's a fun character.
Here's my point,
or an interesting character.
Here's my point, and these are all main story characters. These are not like randomly off on the side. We're not even counting those. Do that now for Red Dead Redemption 2. Give me those memories.
I think they could have added some of that in there. Well, even if it wasn't in the main story through side quests.
They did. Like I remember doing a quest with this mad scientist.
Oh, Tesla?
Yeah. Like, and that one was way funny. That I thought that was hilarious. They did it. I just think they portrayed the world as probably as it actually was, which was a very at that time period, a very terrible time to live. Yeah. And I think they took that to heart. And so it was a tragedy, which the main Red Dead Redemption 1 was a tragedy, but they added a lot of comedy, you know, comedy relief and stuff in the middle. But Red Dead Redemption 2 was very serious for the most part. I would say it was 95% serious, and Red Dead Redemption 2 was 60% serious.
Yeah, because that was.
Pedro Ramos says, David is lying. I remember vividly watching him play the campaign on Red Dead 2, and he said, quote, I love this game. This is the best open world game I've ever played, and this was in the midst
of this. It's true. You've said that.
Yeah, it is a very good open world game, but in comparing the two, so I'm not really talking about open world, because their world is really good. What Red Dead 2, my problem with the campaign is just that it lost some of that GTA Rockstar tongue-in-cheek.
Well, that's what Red Dead fun, 1 felt. Red Dead 1 felt like GTA in the West.
Yeah, which is why you could name 4 or 5 different characters and situations that you still remember to this day. And in Red Dead 2, you really can't. Like, you know Dutch, because he was in charge.
Bill.
You know Bill because he's a fat slob.
John Marston.
Marston.
Still and from number one.
His wife.
I remember the guy that went crazy in that town and killed everybody.
Dutch. Not Dutch. What's his name? He's the main. See, I can't even remember his name.
It's not Trevor, but I think it's.
He's the Trevor of.
Yeah. And he like pissed me off so many times. Oh, I wanted to
the
shoot
dude
him.
With the mustache.
He's part of the main. Yeah. He's part of the main storyline. Like very pivotal.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think it's fair to see if I know the names now because I still remember those characters quite strong. I just don't know their names.
Your horse.
Yeah, but it's not
that one. Don't bring that up.
I would
up,
like
Jordan.
Them. There was like this fine balance there that makes it just not as good as a campaign for me.
What is it? What's the Jackie Chan movie in the West?
Shanghai Noon.
Shanghai Noon. Yeah, Shanghai Noon. It's Red Dead 1 was Shanghai Noon, and Red Dead 2 was, like Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Like it was more, serious.
The thing is though, like Red Dead 1 still had serious moments, like the ending to Red Dead 1, which is ironically a similar ending to Red Dead 2, still had this like serious, like jaw dropping, oh my gosh moment.
Yeah.
But in between just was more interesting.
I can say that. There is an argument that either one is superior. I think this is a personal opinion. Like that, it's very subjective for you, I mean, David, to name one over two.
Because the more I think about Red Dead 2, the more I think about, like, I found a man bear pig in Red Dead 2. I found a hobbit hole. I found, you know, there was the ghost lady in the forest, the ghost train, the aliens, the devil. that guy was... They should have expanded on him a little bit more. That would have been fun. But I think there was stuff there, but I
also would say Red Dead 2 had a lot of funny stuff that just happened as you're walking around. More so than Red Dead 1. Like, the world was... I would say Red Dead 2 has been the most world.
Yeah, the world in Red Dead 2 is amazing.
I really think it's... Red Dead 1 was almost so over the top, it was funny. Like, like with their comments of people, you know what I mean? Whereas I really do think Red Dead 2 was more grounded. I think that's...
Yeah.
I feel like that's the difference between the two. Red Dead 1 was more over the top, like a guy saying, thanks for bringing me my flying machine, and then jumping off a cliff to his death.
That was so funny.
Yeah, like that, you know, it's over the top.
So and he's a kid.
Whereas,
he's just a kid.
Whereas Red Dead, let's take the Tesla guy, for example, more, like, still kind of funny, but more grounded in reality. You know, I think that's the major difference between the two.
Well, I love the guy that's changing the horseshoe. on the side of the road, and he gets killed he gets by kicked. His horse. Yeah. Like that's Red Dead 2. I mean, they have it in there. They have like the riots happen. They have like the random stuff in New Orleans. It's not New Orleans. What's
Saint-Denis?
Yeah,
and which that, is
yeah.
New Orleans.
Yeah, they have all. They it's all over the place. It's just not part of the main camp. That main story. The majority of all the even the side quests. Well, not majority, but it was just a more serious tone, David. And maybe in your life you needed something more.
You needed a Trevor.
I mean, that campaign is still top tier. I just prefer the first one. I think it's sure. a sweet spot.
I would say honestly, it would be depending on my mood. I would say Red Dead 2 is still the better game. But
yeah,
it's like 9.9 versus 9.95. Like,
which one would I choose?
I would love to see them just bring me a revised Red Dead 1 in the current game, because you could do it.
Oh, you totally could.
Oh, yeah.
It would be awesome.
I mean, the map's already there. Yeah, half of the map is already there.
It's kind of sort of there. No spoilers.
It would just be one mega game.
Yeah. That's one thing, too. I think the zones were a little better.
In Red Dead 1?
In Red Dead 1.
Well, you could go to Mexico.
Mexico was interesting. Think about what you had. You had Mexico,
and Reyes.
You had the desert, and you had different parts of the desert as well. Like you had canyons, you had a ranch up top.
The only thing that Red Dead 2 Red Dead 2 has more, just not Mexico.
I think it has everything except Mexico.
It has an island in Act 3.
Which I actually would say is the weak point of the game.
Well, because
I actually really do. I dislike
that part. Dragged.
Yeah, it did.
It dragged, and then you realize you can't get the achievement until you replay the game again.
And then you're just pissed.
Because you can't get there again.
That's
frustrating.
No, but I just feel like maybe it's just that I didn't explore in Red Dead 2 as much as in Red Dead 1. I went, like, Tall Trees was my favorite place. And then how distinct New Elizabeth was compared to that. The distinction, maybe it was just that it was further apart because the map was bigger.
Yeah. Oh, it's an interesting opinion. Four years ago, David, I would have never thought you would say that because you were gung-ho on Red Dead 2.
Oh, Red Dead 2. No, Red Dead 2, still, even open world, I'm not talking about the open world.
Sounds like you hate the game.
I'm talking about the campaign.
I think you hate it. That's the vibe I'm getting. You hate it.
I do.
No, I do think Red Dead's open world is incredible because how alive it feels with not the density of like a modern open world. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have the density of like a Grand Theft Auto or a Cyberpunk, but I would argue it almost feels more alive than some of these.
I just realized we still have Cyberpunk gameplay.
And do Red Dead.
I should have done Red Dead.
Everybody, if you would like to support our goal to just play video games, you can do that a couple ways. Come join us over here on YouTube. Thank you for supporting us, everyone that does. YouTube.com/join or /X1Boys. Boys. X1 Bros.
X1 Boys. Yo.
hit the join button. You can subscribe to my channel, X1 The Gamer. Just search X1 The Gamer, youtube.com, X1 The Gamer. You can check out Spicy's channel, Know Your Game.
So you're asking for them to subscribe to you and subscribe. Just to check out me.
Yeah.
And give your opinion, and whether you like me or not.
Drive the clicks.
That was quite the plug. Thanks, David.
Make sure you subscribe to my channel.
You're so nice.
Become a member. Share all my videos.
And just check him out.
And then go check out Spicy.
Mr. McSpicy's channel.
Know Your Game. You got any Know Your Games coming down the pike?
I do. It's just been busy. Busy time of year for me.
Any game you want to say?
The Sea of Stars.
Oh, Sea of Stars? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.